In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This Sunday's name, just like last Sunday, comes from the Latin translation of the introit, that bit of psalm verses that we pray responsively near the beginning of every service. In naming these Sundays of Lent the way that they did, our fathers in the Christian faith have tried to emphasize something about God and His Word that we do well to pay attention to during this time of fasting. Today's name, Reminiscere, means remember. It comes from Psalm 25:6, which says this: "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." When you and I say the word remember, we are usually speaking of some sort of information recall. Sometimes you'll see posts on Facebook that urge you to remember something from the good old days, whatever those days might be. Remembrance might be thinking about a loved one or thinking about a fond memory. Or if you're anything like me, you're simply trying to remember where you put that important thing that you've been looking for the last 3 hours. That reminds me. Latin, the Latin word reminiscere, is related to our English word reminisce. But when the Bible uses the word remember, it almost always has a slightly different meaning than to simply recall a past memory. God's way of remembering things is wholly and completely different from the way that you and I remember things. This is one of the chief errors that we find among many Protestant Christians when it comes to their thinking on the Lord's Supper. When they hear Jesus say, "Do this in remembrance of me," they take the word remembrance to mean one or more of the things that I've just described. For them, the Lord's Supper is simply a memorial of what Christ did on the night of his betrayal. It becomes a ceremony that is ultimately devoid of any real meaning except what is supplied by the individual. It's more of a ceremony that gives an emotional hit that comes from remembering how Christ spent his last hours before his betrayal and arrest with his disciples. Perhaps they might even say that it reminds them of how Christ gave up his life on the cross. But even that falls far short of what Jesus promises to give us in his supper. If we were to import that definition, that understanding of remember, into our psalm text for today, we would simply be telling God to think about that one time or those couple of times that he was merciful and that he displayed his steadfast love. It would make the psalm more of a mental exercise than a prayer. But we must use scripture to interpret scripture, not our own understanding and experience. So let's take a look at a couple of examples that I found in the scriptures when I looked up the word remembrance in preparation for the sermon for today. Interestingly, a search of the English Standard Version rendered 234 such examples. I will not be going through all of them here this morning. In Genesis 8, the story of Noah continues from the previous chapter, which ends by telling us how long the floodwaters had prevailed upon the earth. But then in Genesis 8:1, a switch in the narrative happens. The Word of God tells us that God remembered Noah and every living thing on the ark. Now, if we were to use the aforementioned definition of remember, the story of Noah almost becomes comical at this point. You might even picture God up in heaven, surveying the flooded earth, when all of a sudden something catches his eye on the waters. A big wooden box of a boat floating on the waters. You might picture him throwing up his hand saying, "Oh, Noah, I had forgotten all about him." Now, of course, that's a bit of an absurd thought because, of course, God does not forget anything. God remembered Noah, this text tells us, and he caused a great wind to blow over the face of the earth, and the flood waters subsided. In Genesis chapter 19, we find a similar occurrence. When God's anger over the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah finally boiled over, he sent down fire and sulfur from heaven to destroy the cities, the valley, and all the inhabitants that lived there. Of course, this put Abraham's nephew Lot in great danger. But the text tells us God remembered Abraham, and Lot was delivered out of the destruction. In Genesis 30, God remembered Rachel, the wife of Jacob, and he opened her womb and she conceived a son. In Exodus chapter 2, God heard the groaning of his people Israel in their slavery, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He sent Moses to deliver them from bondage in Egypt and to lead them through the Red Sea, eventually going to the promised land. These are but a few of the examples I found, but I believe the point has been made. When the scriptures speak of God remembering something, this is for us. It is a big flashing sign telling us that God is about to act in a mighty and spectacular way on behalf of his people. And so using these scriptural keys, we can now unlock what our psalm verse for today means. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. When we pray this psalm, we are calling on God to act on our behalf. When we pray this psalm, we are like blind Bartimaeus calling after Jesus to heal him of his blindness. When we pray this psalm, we are like the 10 lepers who call out to Jesus from afar to heal them of their leprosy. We are like the Canaanite woman calling after Jesus to have mercy on her and to heal her daughter who is oppressed by a demon. In fact, we do this very thing every time we pray, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. We are asking. No, we are demanding that God would remember us and save us, not because we have deserved it, but because he has promised that he would. And save us he does. Jesus healed Bartimaeus and the lepers. Even after a struggle, he healed the Canaanite woman's daughter. Now, sometimes we can easily identify with that Canaanite woman. When our prayers seem to fall on deaf ears, when it seems that God doesn't love us, we wrestle with him in the same way that Jacob wrestled with the Lord at the Jabbok River. But despite what we experience by way of pain and suffering in this life, we have such great promises that our Lord has given to us in the blood of his Son, Jesus. And it is in these promises that we, like Jacob, catch our Lord. One of those great promises is that God, after all of this talk of remembrance, will actually forget something. The next verse in our psalm says this: Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. We are calling on God to remember us by forgetting our deepest flaw, that is, our sins and our transgressions. We are asking that God would forget those times that we have flaunted his mercy and steadfast love to chase after other gods of our liking and design. In Psalm 130, we pray a similar prayer. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Psalm goes on. But with you, there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. In this text today, the Lord has promised to remember you and to forget your sins. Instead, God remembers you according to his steadfast love and mercy. That's why us Lutherans have such a robust view of the Lord's Supper. We can take what we know about this word, remember, and from the rest of the Bible, apply it to what Jesus says in our text for today. He says, do this in remembrance of me. We're not saying that Jesus wants us to simply recall what happened on that night. That's certainly part of it. But this means that Jesus is teaching us to proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood, that we would learn that no creature could make payment for our sins. Only Christ, the true God and true man, could do such a thing. He is teaching us to be horrified by our sins and to regard them as not trifles, but quite seriously. And finally, he is teaching us to find joy and comfort in Christ alone. For it is through him, by faith in him, are we saved. This act of remembrance is not a mere recollection of past events, but it is a participation in the very death of Jesus, whereby he has saved us from our sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. And so when we pray, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old, we are calling upon God to stir up his power to come and to save us. He who has loved us from of old, from the very foundation of the world, has not forgotten us in our misery. But out of his great love for us, he has redeemed us out of all our troubles and will at last bring us to himself in heaven. For because of the blood of Christ, God has forgotten one thing. He has forgotten to remember your sins. Instead, when he looks upon you, he sees the perfection of his son, Jesus. And this means that God also remembers you because your name is written in that blood of Christ in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.